Happy New Year to everybody. We're excited to start something new. For many of us, it's kind of just keep on going, keep on plugging. But I know a lot of people make some new and fresh decisions and choices when a new year rolls around. And so if that's you, God bless you. Make some new and fresh decisions for Him. I want to thank everyone here. We received various cards and letters and gifts, and I want to thank everyone for that. Some of them were anonymous, but so thank you if we haven't been able to thank you personally. How's your faith? How's your faith doing? Is it stronger? Is it quaking? Is it, are you questioning, or are you digging in and ready to go? This morning I want to start a new series that I think will be a good starter for us into the new year. Acts chapter 6. I think I'm going to call this series Challenges and Conquerors. Spent a few weeks here for sure. So today will just kind of be introductory to what's coming ahead as we look at the New Testament church. There'll be something here for everyone, families, churches, everyone. Lord, thank you for your word. It's really all I have to lean on and to speak from. It's certainly not my authority or my strength, not my eloquence or wisdom, but yours. And so we honor you by looking into your word, looking for hope, expecting your Holy Spirit to speak fresh and new into our hearts and lives. And so I ask for grace to speak now, and that our hearts would be moved and drawn to you, to glorify you, our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 6, most of us look at this and we take this first half and we talk about the apostles not leaving tables to, they need to pray and serve the word. And then Stephen begins at verse 8. And I'm going to combine them. So I'd like to read chapter 6 with you. And then I will, in an introductory way, we will go through this and see where we're going here in the days ahead in chapter 7. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists, that's Greek-speaking Jews, arose against the Hebrew-speaking Jews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12, the apostles, summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." What they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they had set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, one of those, Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Then they secretly instigated men who said, "We've heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes. And they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council. And they set up false witnesses who said, "This man never ceases to speak words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us." And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Chapter 7, verse 1, and the high priest said, "Are these things so?" So two parts to this. We'll just fly through it. Introductory to what he says in chapter 7. Conquerors and challenges. You can see very clearly in that first part, first seven verses, those are the conquerors, and then there are challenges following them in the second part of the chapter. So to begin with, let's just look. I'll show you some verses, chapter 6. Let's just look at the adjectives, at what was in the character, in the person of these people they were going to elect, that they chose. They chose seven men. Let's just look at what they are. Verse 3. "Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you seven men of good repute." That means people testify about them. That means they have a good reputation. It means the church, the full number of disciples, and they started out at 120 in Acts chapter 1 and 2. They tell us it was about 120. But they've been multiplying, so there's more than that. And they call them all together, and they have a church meeting, and they pick out seven men who everyone in the church would say they have a good reputation. These men are the real deal. They are full of the Spirit and of wisdom, and we will appoint them to this duty to oversee the distribution, the daily distribution of food and goods to these widows. Verse 5. And they said, what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. So we have good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom. Here we have full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. They chose these men in verse 8. And Stephen was full of grace and power, and was doing great wonders and signs among the people. So now we have grace and power, and that power is from the Spirit again. And then in verse 10, we have, "They could not withstand the wisdom and the Spirit with which he was speaking." So Stephen and these others, and we know Philip, in fact, he will be in chapter 8, but these men were full of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit controlled them. They let the Holy Spirit have them completely. They were controlled by it. Full of wisdom. And we talked about that, 1 Corinthians 1, 2, and 3. The wisdom of this world is foolishness out there. That what they're telling us is foolishness. The wisdom we need is from God. They were full of the wisdom of God. They were full of faith. They were full of grace, it says, and they were full of power from the Spirit, wisdom and the Spirit. That's pretty amazing. So there are your conquerors, Stephen being one of the main ones, and then there are the challenges here that these men of the other side of religion, they disputed with him. They belonged to the synagogue, so they were Jewish religious people, the religion of the land. And this Christ thing is kind of new, us pulling away and following Christ. It's a new thing, and we just killed your leader, but here you guys are wanting to go your own way with this Christ thing. And so here comes these men from the religion of the land, and they dispute with Stephen, but they couldn't withstand the wisdom and the Spirit. So here's this guy, one of the seven they choose, and the mainstream religion wants to dispute with them, and they just can't. They can't withstand the wisdom and the Spirit and the grace and the power that's in him. And so they keep going. They verse 11, secretly instigate men. There's a conspiracy to get him. Just like Jesus, they were conspiring to kill Jesus. And he says, "Oh, you guys are trying to kill me. You're trying to trap me." And they said, "Oh no, what are you talking about?" Right? That was Jesus. Same thing here. So they have to go behind the scenes. They have their own agenda. They're conspiring against Stephen now. They secretly instigate men. They can't withstand his wisdom and the Spirit. The dude just keeps pouring out wisdom from the Word of God and the Spirit, grace, signs and wonders, and they have nothing more they can say. So now they've got to start their own thing. Secretly instigating men who said, "We've heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And verse 12, they stirred up the people. Isn't that appropriate? They get to talking and they get the whole mass of people. They stir up the people, the elders and the scribes, and they come upon him and they seize him. They have the power to arrest him. And they brought him before the council and they set up false witnesses. As typical with false witnesses, how many times have you heard a politician on TV try to quote a verse and you're looking at that and you're going, "He has no idea what he's saying, does he?" That's what they were doing. They set up false witnesses who said, "This guy never stops talking, speaking words against this holy place, the temple, and the law. We've heard him say that Jesus will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us." It seems to always come back to the place and the Word. The place and the Word. The church and the Word. The people and the Word. And Jesus, your leader, is going to change. Jesus, your leader, is going to take you on this unique journey with this church and the Word. He's going to destroy it. Well, he was talking about his body, right? They have no idea what they're talking about. They're just lying to get Stephen in trouble. In verse 15, "And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel," but that didn't stop him either. So here's a guy speaking wisdom, doing great signs and wonders among the people, helping widows. His face is like an angel, and I don't know exactly what that means, but I'm guessing it somehow radiated or glowed or something happened there. Some miraculous thing was going on, and they're looking at him, and there's his face and his wisdom and his testimony, a man of great repute, and they don't stop. The enemy will not stop. You and I need to just stop right here. If you're going to make a commitment, a fresh faith commitment in 2022, I promise you, you stand on the Word of God. You serve widows and do these things. You develop wisdom. You let the Spirit fill you. What could anyone say about you? God will protect you. Oh no. If you're going to dig your feet in for Jesus Christ this year with the challenges that are coming, if you are going to be open about your faith, if you are going to step out and serve and let the Spirit have you, oh, the enemy will find you. And you won't be able to pick a neutral spot. You won't be able to just slide up under the cover and stay out of trouble and just kind of... Nothing will stop him. Your face can glow like an angel and they won't stop. And I'm telling you, we have an enemy. And if you're going to slide under the cover and just go along to get along, it isn't going to work. You're going to have to choose in 2022, do I follow Jesus or do I follow that? They will come for you. You better know that. If you think you're just going to play Jesus music all day long, you're just going to, I'm just so good, I won't get in trouble. You're mistaken. Because you have an enemy. This man, I can't hold a candle to Stephen. I can't do signs and wonders. I'm not going to say God can't today. God can do whatever he wants to do. Who am I to say God can't do this? God wants to do it, he's going to do it. I wish somebody came along with the Holy Spirit that could actually show me really they did it. And I'm just happy as punch right now for prayers that heal people. I'm just so thrilled right now for prayers that change lives. But man, would I love to see someone so full of the Spirit they could do something. It's not me. But he could. He had a wisdom and an understanding I can't even begin to have. What a heart. What a guy, full of grace, man. He was just inclined to reach out, to take his life into yours and help people. That's not me. I love you. I love my church family like crazy. But this guy, man, he was something. And the enemy found him. And if that's you and I in 2022, he will find us. You can't hide. You can't stay out of trouble. If you're going to make a difference in this world, you're going to stand against evil. And he's going to find you. Make a choice. Make a choice right now. I will serve Jesus Christ. I will take with this little group called the church, and we will go our way. They won't stop. It doesn't matter to them how many good, nice things you are, how agreeable you are. And I pray there's no one in here who's a moving target. That's my prayer for us. Hey, you have beliefs in theology. You have beliefs about the Bible. But when someone comes along and pushes a little pressure, or it comes into our family, oh, that's in the family now. And then we adjust our theology and our biblical understanding of sin and truth. And we become a moving target. Oh, the state says this? Oh, well then, okay. I hope you're not a moving target. I hope you know Jesus and you know his word and this is what it says. And no matter what the state says or no matter what comes into my life or my family, I follow Jesus. I'm not trying to stay out of trouble. I'm trying to follow Jesus. Because trouble will find us. And that's what this is about. Conquers and challenges. The enemy won't quit. I'll give you a tip into chapter 7. When the high priest said, "Is this so? Are these things so?" Chapter 7 is not a defense. It is not a defense. It's not like, well, you guys just need to accept Jesus as your Savior and you'd understand and everything would be fine. And I'm not trying to be a troublemaker. It's not a defense. Chapter 7 is anything but a defense. He wasn't defending himself. He was speaking the truth. Here's the truth. And by the end of the chapter, he's dead. He's dead. Because they hate it. There's no moving target in Stephen. Standing alone before this council with his life in his hands, he decides not to defend himself, but to speak the truth of God's word. Here's where I stand. And you talk about a conqueror. His life ends this way. As they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out, "Lord, don't hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he went to sleep. That's a conqueror. It's amazing. There was so much accomplished through his life. So much accomplished because of this committee, these seven. The apostles were able to stay in prayer and the word of God. Said the word of God continued to increase. What's that mean? Because there was no New Testament. I mean, we're just in Acts. We're just months after the ascension. They were studying the Old Testament, and they were bringing the Old Testament into Jesus, and they were combining and studying and looking, and look what this verse here in Isaiah says about Jesus. It says it increased. Thoughts were coming. The Spirit was moving. They would be writing letters, and the Word of God, the New Testament, would be increasing. The Word of God would be increasing and going out and getting bigger and broader and larger. Because these men were able to take this daily duty and let the apostles pray and study the Word of God. The number of disciples multiplied. And a great many of the priests, even the opposition, even the state religion, those compliant with the state, the priests became obedient to the faith. They were converting the other side. There was so much good coming. And what most people don't even realize, in chapter 8, verse 1, Saul approved of the execution of Stephen, and there arose a great persecution, and they were all scattered through the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Because Stephen opened the door of this persecution in a huge way, Saul was just getting started on persecuting the church. They were scattered. Everybody ran to Judea and Samaria. Except the apostles, they stayed in the heat of the storm. And the gospel went with these folks. And so the very next thing, you have the story of Philip. Missions started happening throughout Israel. Because of this persecution, they scattered, and Jesus and the gospel went with them. So the word was increasing, the disciples, the number was growing. Priests, even the enemy, the opposing side, they were being saved, and missions happened because of this scattering. The gospel went like crazy to the outer regions. Great things were happening. Persecution always grows the church. I just finished a book on John Knox. He began the Reformation with John Calvin and a few others back in the 1500s, 1600s. He spoke against the tyranny of the state of Scotland, and then he had to run for his life to England. He squared off with people like Mary, Queen of Scots, and Bloody Mary. If these names ring any bells to you, Mary of Guise. There were three Marys that hated him like Jezebel hated Elijah. But they believed in the Reformation that it was their job to speak out against the state, the sin of the state, that they needed to bow to God. They needed to repent, and our nation should follow God, one nation under God. And so John Knox, maybe a year after he began preaching, he spent 18 months as a galley slave. You know what that is? That means underneath the ship, there are slaves rowing the boat like a machine. Instead of a motor, there are all these slaves chained beside each other, and there's layers of them. And you're chained, you can't go anywhere. And so when that guy up there needs to go to the bathroom, he goes to the bathroom. And the people on the upper deck there, on the galley slaves on the next layer up, when they got to go to the bathroom, they go to the bathroom. And you don't eat, and you don't get up, and you don't move in 12, 14 hours a day until they come and unchain you and put you back to your quarters and give you something to eat. You are the motor of this ship. And that's what happened to people. They conquered to prisoners, the political prisoners. Instead of going to prison, you went to row a ship. And John Knox started preaching out against sin and the sin of the nation and some of the things that these Marys wanted to do. And he found himself in a galley ship for 18 months. When he got out, he just went home to his family and just stayed there quiet and stayed out of trouble. No, he didn't. He went back to his church and he started preaching again. Until Mary came after him, and then he ran to England and he stayed in England for a while. But lo and behold, there's a queen there the same way. King George and King James, and they hate this thing. Eventually he comes back to Scotland. And yes, eventually he lost his life. But the Reformation started. And John Knox and John Calvin and a few others got their country back on the right foot. For a while. The point is, for 1600 years, the church believed it was their job to light the torch for their nation, to get back to God. It was not uncommon for them to ask one of these guys to come and preach a coronation for someone and them to preach, repent. Mary, Queen Mary, you need to repent. Our government needs to repent, and to dispute with them about the wicked sinfulness that they're taking their nation into. Since Jesus, the martyrs, all the apostles, all the martyrs, the Reformation, you go look it up in history, they always knew it was their job to light the torch, to call their nation and their communities back to God. They didn't stay home trying to stay out of trouble. They took up their cross and followed Jesus to change their nation. It wasn't just about the gospel. It was about the big gospel. All of life gospel. And we're going to have enemies. There are going to be challenges. But there are going to be conquerors. It'll be interesting for us to look ahead in 2022, 2023 and see what conquerors rise up from amongst the church community. Right now, most of them are cowering and bowing to state. It'll be interesting to see who stands up for the Word of God and actually preaches a true course of Jesus Christ. As right now, they're trying to stay out of trouble. And there are few that have stayed the course of Jesus Christ. Few churches stayed open, receiving fine after fine after fine after fine, pastors in Canada being arrested. While the state church looks on and said they're troublemakers. It'll be interesting to see who stands up and is more like the Church of Jesus Christ through the first 15, 16, 1700 years. Isn't that why America started? Didn't they come here looking to worship freely? To worship without the state imposing on them? And to influence the state. If there's any influence, it's the church influencing the state. So our nation is founded, and all we have are these founding documents. One nation under God. In God we trust. That's all we have. It's our founding documents, the Ten Commandments. So many things. They wanted the state out of them, but they wanted to be into. They wanted to influence the state. Be interesting to see if any conquerors rise up from what we loosely call the church today in America, or if they all just try and stay out of trouble. So our introduction is here. These men of amazing faith and wisdom and spirit, power, and these other people disputing. I wrote in my Bible, why? What is there to dispute here? Why would you dispute with them except you do not really want to follow Jesus? Who were these guys? Who was Stephen? He wasn't an apostle. He wasn't not an apostle. The 12 said, "Choose from among you 7 men. We'll appoint them to this duty." Do you know who Stephen was? He was a table server. That's what it says. We can't leave the Word of God to serve tables. Therefore, you pick out 7 for this duty. And the word tables is literally in there in the Greek. It's there. Minister of tables. So they found these exemplary men of their group to stand at tables daily and hand out food and clothing so that all the widows, the Greek-speaking Jews and the purebred Hebrew ones, and they were all purebred, but some just grew up in a Greek neighborhood, and they spoke Greek. But you can imagine the other ones thought, well, they're kind of trashy. They speak Greek. They don't speak the mother tongue. So they picked these exemplary men to daily stand at the tables and hand out food and clothing to the widows. They were table servers. Many, if not all of you, have been here on a Wednesday night in years past and you've served tables. You've stood downstairs and you've handed out food and clothing from the tables. That's exactly what these men did, but on a daily basis. There were 7 of them. It's interesting that they picked out men of exemplary character, of faith and wisdom and the Holy Spirit to stand at tables and to make sure this was done in a God-honoring, equitable way. But it's an important job. My point is that Stephen was one of us. I'm not an apostle. I'm a table server. I'm a pastor, teacher, but I'm not an apostle. I serve tables with you. I pray and study the Word of God a lot, but I'm not an apostle. We are table servers. We minister the tables. And you and I can follow in Stephen and Philip's footsteps. Because all we need is the Holy Spirit, which we get when we're saved, the wisdom of the Word of God, grace, which we get the moment we're saved, and He wants to continue to fill us with and power in some way, shape, or form. Maybe you'll be the one to do some miraculous sign or wonder that I wait my whole life to see. But all I know is this is a room full of table servers able to do exactly what Stephen and Philip and these men did. Table servers. I think it's interesting that if you read this story, right, he says, and what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen. And it, verse 6, these they set before the apostles, and they prayed, and they laid hands on them to serve the tables. Hey, we're gonna do a Wednesday night ministry and serve, and we need a small group of table servers to oversee that. And we're going to bring you up here and we're going to lay our hands and pray on you to serve food and clothing. We never did that. We didn't do it. But they did. Because it was way more than serving tables. Stephen was full of wisdom and the Holy Spirit, and they were ministering to these people. He was doing signs and wonders. People were coming up asking questions and disputing them, and they couldn't withstand him. And the ministry was not just going over the apostles who were praying and the Word of God expanding. The ministry was happening at the tables. And so the freedmen came to the tables and disputed with Stephen, this great man of God, table server. Just like us. They laid hands on him. They knew what this would mean. It's an amazing thing. You and I can do this. You and I can do this. And here's how we'll do it. Hebrews chapter 12. You and I can do it the exact same way he did it. Not the scared church, not the stay out of trouble church, not to do whatever they say church. Plot your course. Know your Savior. Know your theology and go out there and live it. Call your nation, your communities, your families. Call them to come back to God and repent. Judgment's coming, is it not? We say the end is coming. Well, guess what? Our neighbors and our family and our work co-workers, they're going to face the judgment. And you and I have no room. There's no room in our life anymore to just stay out of trouble. We're the light on a hill. A city set on a hill. We will do it the same way they did it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also like them, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. That's where we'll start. We'll start with us. We'll lay aside 2022, what's the weight or the sin cling so closely? It's going to slow us down. Remember, Matthew chapter 7, verse 3. Remember what Jesus said. Why do you seek the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Proportionately, I have a lot more work to do in my life than I will ever know about yours. So it will all begin here with me looking at my life, you looking at your life before you begin to pick on your brother next to you. Because your sins are like a forest compared to what you know about your brother. So if we all do that, then we can help our brother, Jesus says. Then you'll be able to help your neighbor with the speck. So we're just going to start with us. And I have a forest, and I'm suspecting that Jesus' message is, you just know way more about yourself than your brother, so don't be so quick to jump on your brother. Unless you're perfect. If you're perfect, then you just go right ahead and help the rest of us lowlifes get our life in order. Start there, lay aside all the sins and the weights, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. It's a race. It's an endurance race. There's one thing I hate. It's cross-country running. I take that back. If there's one thing I hate, it's a 100-yard dash. I don't like to run. I'm not built for it. But this is an endurance race. It is painful and it is long. It is taxing and it is draining. It is wearisome. And he tells us in verse 12, therefore lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make your path straight for your feet, because this is an endurance race. And you have enemies. This is not a cruise ship. This is not stay home and stay out of trouble land. This is get out there in the mix. This is you are responsible to light a fire in your community, your family, your nation. Get in the mix. Run the race with endurance. That means we will endure hardship, struggle, disputing, and opposition. Just set your mind right now. If you haven't figured that out yet, just set your mind to it right now. This is an endurance race. Looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter, the completer of our faith. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus. That's it. That's it. Don't look at CNN. Don't look at Fox. Don't look at this. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Now look at CNN. Look at Fox. Know your surrounding. Know the battlefield. But that is not your Lord and Savior. Look to Jesus, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Our Savior ended the same way. And he tells us, take up your cross. There's nothing about our faith. There's nothing about our ministry as table servers that says, don't cause any waves. Don't ripple the water. Get along with everybody. Do everything you can to be a good little person. There's nothing about that. Serve Jesus until it hurts, until they come after you. Call them to repentance. Tell them about the love and grace of Jesus. He came with grace and truth. John said, speaking the truth in love, we're going to tell the truth. We are looking for truth with grace and with love until it hurts. And for the joy set before us, there's joy waiting on us. This life is hard. This is endurance. For the life ahead of us, there's joy. Every one of us table servers here, there's tremendous joy. This will end. This endurance race will end well for us. We know that. How's your faith? How's your faith? You got faith to look down the road long term. This is long term faith. This is long term hope. Oh, it's there. It's waiting. I go to prepare a mansion for you, a place. If I go, I'll come back again. And I'll bring you to myself. How's your faith? That's where our eyes have to stay. They rushed upon Jesus, or upon Stephen, and they gnashed their teeth. And he looked up and he saw the skies open. And he says, I see Jesus sitting at the right hand of God. And they started stoning him. There was no defense. His eyes were on Jesus. And even with rocks in their hands, I see Jesus. Oh, don't hold this as sin against them. That's how we will do it. When everyone and everything opposes us, family, work, state government, when everything stands against us and says they are the troublemakers, you and I will look at Jesus and say, I see Jesus, and for the joy set before him, receive me. Receive my spirit, Lord, just like yours. Just like yours, take me home. Don't hold it against them. That's how we're going to do it, the same exact way. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, Stephen's watching. Stephen and this cloud of witnesses are watching to see if we will do what they did, if we will stay the course, if we will keep our eyes on Jesus. Chapter 11, verse 40, it says, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. They're waiting for Stephens of our day. This great cloud of witnesses, all these people in verse 37, they were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword, they went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom this world is not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves. They did not stay home and stay out of trouble. They did not keep their mouth shut so they wouldn't get in trouble, so somebody would be mad at them. And they never received what was promised. All these, though they were commended for their faith, they didn't receive what was promised because God said they won't receive that until we are brought in with them, until we come together with them. We all go together. And they're waiting and they're watching to see what conquerors will come out of this group of people. Stephen's watching. Moses is watching. Philip's watching. All the apostles are watching. The martyrs are watching. The reformationists that were burned at the stake are watching. Who will speak up and live for Jesus? What table servers will make a difference for Jesus? Conquerors? Cowards, challenges. We're watching. Table servers. That's us. I can do that. I'm qualified. But now I just need the Holy Spirit, full of the Spirit. Let Him totally have me. The wisdom of the Word of God, not the world. Power, oh, I want that power. Signs and wonders, faith, powerful faith. I speak what every person in this room can do. There's nothing we've just learned that not a single person in this room cannot do. We can. We can light a flame for Jesus Christ if we will forget about making someone upset at us. You're going to. Lord, thank you. Lord, I look forward to the challenges and the conquerors that we're going to learn about. It's already exciting me as I look ahead. It's amazing. I pray for us. I'm a table server too. I pray for us, Lord. Would you raise up this group of table servers? Fill us with your Spirit, with the wisdom of your Word. Fill us with power. And Lord, if there is someone here you want to do a sign or a wonder through, I will be the first to thank you for it. Lord, I know so many in the Reformation lit a fire for Jesus Christ, and the fire was lit to the stake they were strapped to. If that's us, that's us. But Lord, spread your kingdom and spread your glory and spread your word. May the word increase. May the disciples be multiplied and even those who oppose us be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.